All right, good afternoon. I'm glad to see that everybody made it here through Hurricane Shekinah. And just happy we came in on the plane and they said, we're going to get a little bit of turbulence. And I was just like, oh man, here we go. I've never been through a hurricane before, but it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. So anyway, I'm sure that Sam Gipp and his buddies were trying to preach against or pray against this conference, right? But they prayed a little too early. You know, the hurricane's gone now, and the conference is still going on. Amen. So there's not going to be any stopping this conference. And I was thinking, you know, what if? But, you know, that's just a faithless thing to think about because God was never going to stop this conference. Amen. So the title of my sermon this afternoon is Salvation Equality to the Jew and the Goyim Too. All right? So turn to Luke chapter 2, verse number 25. Luke chapter 2. Verse number 25, and our text is going to be 25 through verse 32. It's a very interesting story that happens here with a man named Simeon. So I'm just going to read those verses, 25 through verse 32, and then we'll get into the message. All right, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this great conference and a room full of like-minded believers. God, I just pray, Lord, that you'd guide the preaching this weekend and, Lord, the soul winning especially, Lord, that many people would be saved. I pray you'd fill me with boldness and your spirit as I preach today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so now, consolation, you think of consolation as like someone gets a consolation prize. Like, it's kind of like the everybody gets a trophy type of thing, or maybe the runners-up of somebody gets a consolation prize. But what consolation means here is comfort received by a person after a loss or disappointment. Now, the nation of Israel went through a lot of loss and disappointment. And at this point, they're ruled by the Roman Empire. They've already been demolished by Nebuchadnezzar and the heathen armies. And this man, Simeon, he's just, you know, he's lived his life. He's a believer. He's a just and devout man. He's saved. And the Holy Ghost, look at verse number 26, says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Now, Sam Gipp doesn't understand what the word Christ means, but the Bible interchanges Christ with Messiah. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 41. John chapter 1, verse 41. And if you look down there, it gives us, the Bible's going to give us the meaning of the word Messiah. And it says in verse 41, "He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ." So you can interchange the word Christ with Messiah. So what was Simeon looking for? What did the Holy Ghost say he was going to see? He said he was going to see the Christ before he died, right? And so the Christ is the Messiah. Now turn to John chapter 4, verse 25. John chapter 4 and verse number 25. John 4, 25 says, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." So there's no doubt that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Now, and Simeon got to see this just and devout man. Simeon got to see Jesus Christ before he passed away. He was an old man. And, you know, he got to see this Messiah. So look at verse 27. It says, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." So it's God is the one that saves people. It's not what bloodline you're from. It's not what color your skin is. It's not what nation you were born in. It's not who your daddy was. The Bible says that salvation is of the Lord. In Jonah 2:9 it says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord. And Simeon got to see that salvation. Look at verse 30. It says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of the Jews. No, it says all people, all people. Verse number 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. So this is Simeon speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, right? What was the plan here? It was always that everybody should be saved. God is not a respecter of persons. And what is a Gentile anyway? A Gentile, again, let's let the Bible define for us what a Gentile is. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 1. Isaiah 9, verse number 1. The Bible says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Galilee of the nations, okay, you see that? Now turn over to Matthew chapter 4, verse number 13. Matthew 4, verse number 13. The Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 13, it says, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. So you see, in Isaiah, it says it's Galilee of the nations. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 15, it says it's Galilee of the Gentiles. So nations means Gentiles, right? According to these verses, right? And so things have changed since the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he was buried and he rose again. That partition of nations, God replaced the old Israel, the nation of Israel, with a spiritual nation. And I'll go into that a little further here in just a minute. So number one, the Holy Ghost told Simeon that he would see the Christ. Number two, the Holy Ghost told us through Simeon that he had seen God's salvation, which was Jesus Christ. He got to see the child Jesus. And the Holy Ghost, number three, told us through Simeon that he had prepared his salvation for all people. The Bible is so clear that everybody has always had an opportunity to be saved. But see, God operated through the nation of Israel, hoping that they would bring forth the fruit that they were supposed to bring forth that they never did. They never completed what they were supposed to do, and they just kept failing over and over again and getting into idolatry until God finally had to just say, look, I'm done with you. Okay? So let's go back to verse number 30 in Luke chapter 2. Verse 30 in Luke number or chapter 2. So it says, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. So, and that it would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. So we know that Gentiles means nations, right? And the glory of thy people, Israel. So basically what Gentiles are is anybody that's not of the nation of Israel, okay? They call us Goy or Goyim. Have you ever heard that before? Who's heard of Goyim, Goy? And that really just means a Jew. It's a Jewish name for a non-Jew. But see, they mean it a little differently when they say it. Because, you know, honestly, a lot of Jews look at us like we're just cattle. And they look down on us and they think they're better than us because they still think that they're God's chosen people. But they're dead wrong because they rejected their Messiah and God replaced them. So now it's just a synagogue of Satan that's left over. That's all that's left over. See, they chose what they wanted, and they chose not Jesus. They chose not Jesus. But they do call us Goy, and that's why I said it's salvation equality to the Jew and the Goy too, right? The Goyim too. There's a lot of things talked about with the word equality these days. You know, but you'll see those stickers that have like the equality symbol on the back of it. Those are disgusting. That's not equality. What some abomination does in their bedroom, you know, doesn't make them equal with me, okay? So I'm not a liberal person. That obviously I'm not a liberal person, but you know, these people that are talking about equality, God's equality is different than the world's equality. God's equality is real equality, and He wants everybody to be saved. Amen. So, but they look at us like we're cattle, like we're the person that can flip on their light switch for them or whatever. In the table of nations in Genesis chapter 10, you don't have to turn there, But in verse 5, chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their family, in their nations." So we are, in this world, all human beings, all mankind, is one blood of all nations. Turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. The Bible says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." So God is made of one blood. Adam and Eve made all the nations of one blood, right? So, and we are one in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. Turn to Genesis chapter 17. Turn over there with me, if you would. Verse number 7, it says, "I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Abraham was to bless all the nations of the whole world. All right, and that includes the Gentiles, the nations, the goyim, if you want to say that. Now turn back to Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. We'll look at a few verses over there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So he's not talking about, he said, "I'm not talking about your ancestry. I'm not talking about ancestry.com. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the seed that he was talking about, the promised seed that would come from Abraham." Amen. He said kings would come from his loins. Jesus Christ is the great king, amen? Right. Amen. And I'll skip down to verse 26. It says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And all we know means all, right? Anybody that's saved, anybody that's called upon the name of the Lord, anybody that has their faith put in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. You're just as good as anybody else, amen? Nobody has some advantage in a way that they're better than you. So you get these people, these Zionists that will say, "Oh yeah, you know, you got to have a Jewish dentist and a Jewish doctor, and you got to, you know, a Jewish veterinarian. The Jew is better in all ways than you are." I mean, it's just crazy when people say stuff like that. You know, we'll see the great Jewish basketball players that we have now. They're not better at everything, okay? They might be better at banking, but that's about as far as that goes. Anyway, let's see. Verse 27, it says, "For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So if you are in Christ, that's the big, there's a big if right there. It says, if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And look, if they don't have Christ, they don't have anything. They're not saved. So what are these Zionists want? They just want us to bow down and lick these Jews' boots for what? These guys, if they don't believe in Jesus, they're going to hell. And look, most Zionists will say, "Well, yeah, if they don't believe in Jesus, they're not going to heaven." There's extreme Zionists that think that they just have their own covenant, but there's some that actually think that they do have to believe. But yet we're still supposed to be their friends. You know, we're still supposed to be their homies and give them money and all this stuff. You know, it's garbage. So we are equal if they're equal in Christ with us. Right? You know what I mean? I mean, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10. Now, we use these verses a lot in soul winning, but a lot of times I skip over this part just for the sake of it being a soul, you know, so at someone's door. But there's a very important truth in here. Romans chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference. See that? There's no difference. We're all the same. It says, "Between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no difference between us. There's no difference. We're all the same. We're all in the same gang, right? We're all human beings. We're all mankind. And God wants everybody to be saved. There's no special chosen people unless you're in Christ. Then you're chosen. Then you're special. Amen? Okay, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse number 16. See, God has always desired all nations of the world to be saved. The plan was never for nobody else to be saved except for the Jews. That's never been the plan. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse number 16. It says, "Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons." God's not a respecter of persons. Amen. "Nor taketh reward." Now look at verse 18. It says, "He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger." Who's the stranger? Someone that was not in the nation of Israel. One of the Gentiles, one of the Goyim. "And giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger." Love ye therefore the stranger. They were supposed to love the stranger. They're supposed to bring him into their fold. It says, "Love the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And therefore fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name." See, God, they were commanded to love the stranger and the fatherless and the widows, but they always ended up doing what? Eating them up, right? They always ended up abusing them. And, you know, in the time of Jesus, it got to the point where they were just a bunch of racists. I mean, you can see the underlying racism with the story of the Good Samaritan, right? The Pharisee just walked around. He wouldn't even walk next to the guy that was wounded. He just walked around him. That's how much they disdained Gentiles at that time. So look at 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter number 8. God's always wanted his name to be known among the world, known among the heathen. And he has always not been a respecter of persons. So the line of the Lord Jesus Christ came through Abraham, and it came through David, and it came through a line of people. But once he came, then that middle wall of partition was broken down. Okay, you're in 1 Kings 8:41. Now this is Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. Look what he says. It's very interesting. "Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people, Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name and of thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name to fear thee, as do thy people Israel." Isn't that soul winning? Isn't that what they want? God wants is that when these people come and these people get saved and they say, "I want to be part of this nation," and then they say, you know, then there's God. That's what God wants here. It says, "And that all the people of the earth may know thy name to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I build it is called by thy name." I'm just going to read for you in Isaiah 49, verse 6. "And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." So Jesus Christ was given to be a light to the Gentiles, a light unto the whole earth. So I guess that extends to the ice wall. Anyway, just kidding. Plan B was not that the Gentiles jumped in on Israel's blessings, okay? Plan B was that a spiritual nation replaced the nation of Israel, the physical nation of Israel, becoming a spiritual nation. That's what Plan B was, okay? But it was always Plan A in reality. It was always a look. Forever is God's word settled in heaven. Like he wasn't just waiting for the Jews to make a decision and then say, "Oh yeah, you know, what am I going to do here? Am I going to just, you know, go on with the Jews or what?" You know, God always knew that this was going to happen. God always knew that the people of the world would be saved through the preaching of the gospel. And look, here we are, bunch of goyim in here, all right, bunch of saved people. And that was his plan, and look, his plan worked. Amen. I don't know how many people are in here tonight or this afternoon, but it's quite a few, and there's people all over the world that are saved. And the reason why he replaced them also is because they weren't doing their job. They were not bringing forth fruit. That's why Christ cursed the fig tree. It represented the fact that he was cursing the nation of Israel, and he was plucking them up, right? Matthew 21, verse 42 says, "Jesus saith unto them, Did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." That's the dagger in the heart right there. Anybody that says that Israel still has its own plan, that's garbage. They've been replaced. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. 1 Peter 2, verse number 9. The Bible says, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We're the chosen generation. Look, who's Peter talking to? Is he talking to the Jews? No. He's talking to people that are saved. He says, "Ye are the chosen generation. We're the royal priesthood now. We're the holy nation, a peculiar people." That doesn't mean a bunch of weirdos, okay? It just means you're called out, you're separated, you're different. We're supposed to be different. Amen? And it says, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Saved believers are the chosen people. The Bible is very clear. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11. Ephesians 2:11 says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in the times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers." See that word strangers? So you know God was talking about the Gentiles, right? "Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Amen. And verse 14 says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." That wall is broken. Everybody's in on the salvation. Everybody's in on this spiritual nation. It doesn't matter what country you're born in, okay, or who your dad was. Skip down to verse 19. It says, "Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So we're in on the blessings, we're in on the promises, we're no longer strangers and foreigners, we're fellow citizens with the saint, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, we're just as good as anybody else, we're just as good as the Jews, right? And I'll talk to you a little bit about how they're kind of racist. I don't have time to go into this whole thing, but Jesus is preaching in his hometown of Nazareth. He sits down, everybody's staring at him. They're looking at him like, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" Right? That's what they say. And in verse 23 it says, "And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I will tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. So in that time, there was all these people in the nation of Israel. There was widows everywhere. But where did he go? He went to the Gentile. Why? Well, because they were having a hard time with their faith, apparently, at that time. Their country was going through a famine for a reason, because there was a lot of wicked people in Israel at that time. And, you know, but why is Jesus telling them this story? I think that there's a little more here than meets the eye. I think that he's basically kind of just calling them out for being racist, but at the same time saying that these people's faith is better than yours. You know, and also it says in verse 27, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill wherein the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went his way. So why did they try to kill him? Well, he's talking about Gentiles getting saved. You know, why did they try to kill him? Because he got up and said, I'm the Messiah. They rejected the Messiah. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, now we are that spiritual nation. He's replaced them, and we're the spiritual nation. So I think that God, you know, that Jesus knew their racist hearts. They know he tells other stories showing and proving that they were racist. And racism is dumb. It really is. Because if we're all one blood, well, you know, you get cut, what color do you bleed? It's red, right? Everybody bleeds red. It's the same. Skin color has nothing to do with anything. So, but there was a time, and I'm going to finish with this story. There was a time I was paving on a paving job about 3 years ago. And it was in a Jewish area, and it was a Jewish community. And there was a community center right there, and it had lights where you could push the signal buttons to go across the street, right? And it was on a Saturday, and I was working overtime, and I kept watching these families, like, run in front of traffic, and, like, because they're walking to the synagogue, right? So I was watching all these, and I'm like, why don't they just push the walk button? They wouldn't push the walk button. Why? Because it's Saturday. They got to keep the Sabbath, right? So there's these people called, they call them Shabbat Goys. And Shabbat Goy is someone that can push the button for you. It's a Gentile, right? So it's funny, one of the guys on the paving crew was like, yeah, they got to pay a Gentile to push the button for them. And I didn't even think of that, really. I should have thought about it. But some random dude just goes, yeah, they got to have a Gentile push the button for them. So they can have Gentiles push the button for them, but you know, you'd think that they would have someone, like, if that it's allowed in their religion, to just have some goy push the button for them so they don't get killed. Well, I was looking at this article, and it says, it's an incident from past Yom Kippur involving a woman in Jacksonville, Florida, who was killed while crossing an intersection with dangerously fast cars. And the 16-year-old daughter was hurt, and it says, the tragedy brings up this question. In an area where the traffic light poses a danger in crossing because it is green for too short of a time to cross, would it be permitted to ask a Gentile to press the button? That's how they feel about us. You know what I mean? Doesn't that seem kind of right? Well, you know, we don't want to break the Ten Commandments, but we'll allow you to break the Ten Commandments. You know what I mean? But the Sabbath has been done away with in Christ anyway. But it's just an example of how they view us. And you know, we shouldn't view it that way. We should still try to get the Jews saved. Now, most of them are not receptive. Very few are receptive, but there's been, you know, we should still try, because we are one if we're all in Christ Jesus. Amen. So in Romans 2:28, it says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is of that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So if you have Christ in you, you are a Jew inwardly. Amen. We are just as good as anybody else. Ezekiel 18:29, I'll just close on this. Ezekiel 18:29, it says, he saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? See, their ways are unequal. The world's ways are unequal. The Jews' ways are unequal. They'll let the goy push the button for them, right? But our ways are equal. Everybody's saved in Christ Jesus. Amen. God's way is equal. God's way is for everybody in this world to be saved. He's an equal opportunity salvation provider. Amen. All Amen. People. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the word of God and for all these people that would show up to this conference, Lord. And just pray that for the next preacher that's going to come and preach for us, Lord. And I pray that your spirit would be upon the rest of this conference. In Jesus' name, amen.